Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. So good to see you. If it's your first time, welcome to Heartway. So glad that you're here. This past Wednesday, we had our Heartway Healers Workshop, and it was awesome. How many of you guys were present for that experience? Wasn't it great? So fun. It's been amazing doing those workshops. Really looking forward to the next one coming up. I put it on my calendar as soon as I saw it up there on the slides with Milena. It's going to be all about worship, and so I hope to see you. We also have the men's retreat coming up this weekend, which is going to be awesome. If you remember the men, I ask that you would keep them in your prayers. This is a very transformative weekend for the gentlemen. I've gone through the experience, I think it's been like 3 times already. This the first one I'm missing, unfortunately. I'll be in Cabo for a bachelor party, so that'll be fun. So I'll kind of be missing them, kind of not, but Tommy's still trying to get me to sign up. But I do want to say thank you to Ray and Tommy, if we could put our hands together, just for all the leadership they've provided for the men's retreat. Thank you, gentlemen. And today we're in our second week of Rhythms of Grace, our brand new series. And I want to begin by reading the text that is really the foundational scripture that this whole series has been built on. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus' words. He says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Doesn't that sound good? Now, how do we actually experience that in our everyday life, right? That's what I want to talk to you about today. And so today we're going to discuss the theme of the unforced life. The unforced life. Anybody ever tried going to bed at night sometimes and you just can't fall asleep? Doesn't that suck? It's literally the worst. There's times where even the melatonin doesn't work for me and I'm just laying there. Well, when you're trying to fall asleep and you can't, the worst thing to do is to try and force it. You know what I mean? Like the more you think about it, the more you try and force yourself to go to sleep, the more you're actually working against yourself and prolonging the amount of time that you're going to stay awake. Eventually, the sleep will come. Even if you only get a couple hours of sleep, eventually you get worn out and you fall asleep. But the sleep comes in its own time, in its own way, without you thinking about it or trying to force it to happen. Okay, that same principle actually applies to a whole bunch of things in our life. When it comes to things like love, relationships, success, purpose, happiness, peace, healing. If you try and force the process, you're going to slow yourself down. You're working against yourself. And you may actually repel the very thing that you're trying to bring into your life by trying to force it so hard. See, when you force things that aren't meant to be, you're actually operating from a place of lack, from a place of fear, from a place of insecurity. And so even if you do get the things that you desperately want and are trying to force to happen, you can't even really enjoy it Because you're going to spend so much time trying to keep it all together, you're going to lose your mind in the process. You're going to be so afraid of losing it that you're going to be trying a little too hard to keep it, and you can't even enjoy it. Now, none of these things are bad, right? To chase after the things that we want, to go after the things that we desire. But when it's forced, when it's unnatural, probably means it's not meant for you. And a lot of us spend the entirety of our lives trying to chase after things that are not meant for us. And we chase after things because deep down inside, we actually have a lack of self-worth. And so for us, we think, if I had that money in the bank, if I had that relationship, if that dream were to come true, then I'll be happy, fulfilled, at peace, satisfied with my life. And again, nothing wrong with going after the things that you want. But if you think that getting those things is going to give to you what you ultimately desire in life, which is peace and satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment, you're in for a very rude awakening. There's a reason why it's been said that there's a God-shaped hole in your heart, right? Nothing in this world can fill that. And so when you allow God to fill that emptiness within you, you start realizing that a lot of the things you thought you wanted, you don't really even want anymore. A lot of the things you think that you needed, you actually don't need in order to feel happy and at peace, satisfied, fulfilled in your life. But still, we live our lives in this chasing kind of approach. We're always just chasing after that thing that we think will fill us. Well, the shift, I think, for us to make, if we're going to live an unforced life, is to come to this recognition that whatever's meant for me will come to me at exactly the right time. So I don't have to force it to happen. I don't have to chase after it in all this anxiety because my sense of self and my identity is rooted in attaining that certain thing or having this certain possession or achieving this certain goal. No, I'm not chasing from a place of emptiness. I'm attracting from a place of fullness. Whatever's meant for me will come to me at exactly the right time. And here's the good news. No one can block what's meant for you. No one can block what's meant for you. In the sports world, they'll say, let the game come to you. When I was in high school, I used to play basketball. I thought I was actually pretty good, but I was coming off the bench, so I guess everybody else was better than me. And so when I finally would get in the game, I was trying really hard, like a little too hard, to score a basket, to do good on defense, to steal the ball, to get the rebound, because I wanted to get more playing time. And so I had to really try hard, or so I thought. And as I would try hard and force things to happen, I ended up working against myself the whole time and not really being able to flourish in the way that I wanted to on the court. And I would have my coaches tell me, Danny, just let the game come to you. In other words, slow down a little bit. Stop trying to force everything to happen the way that you want it to happen. If you just let things naturally take their course, you'll start to notice that there are some openings there that happen effortlessly without you even trying. And then you could take advantage of those openings when they're there, but you don't have to force it. And that's a good word for some of us in life. Let the game come to you. Know that what's meant for you will come to you at exactly the right time. Does this mean being passive? Does this mean that I shouldn't act? Does this mean that I should just do nothing? No. But it means if your actions feel unnatural, if they feel contrived, if it feels forced, then that means you're probably going down a path that isn't really meant for you. And I want what's meant for me. I don't want to try and force something that isn't meant for me in my life, because that's going to lead to a whole lot of pain and suffering. And I'll find out eventually at some point. Look at what Jesus says here in this passage of scripture. Matthew chapter 6, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Nothing teaches you the unforced rhythms of grace like watching nature. This is why Jesus was always pointing to nature as a window into the mind of God. He says, you want to learn how to live in a way that is peaceful and restful, where you can actually be at ease in your existence? Just look at the lilies. They're not working. They're not toiling. They're not accomplishing or achieving anything. They are completely and totally beautiful simply as a result of being what they are. Just by being what they are, they exude this beauty and fulfill their purpose. And then he says, look at the birds in the air. They're not worried about where their next meal is coming from or where they're going to go to sleep at night. God takes care of them in the same way God is taking care of you. Every moment of your existence, God is watching over you and taking care of you and setting the path before you. Can you trust in the reality of that? Just look at nature for a while and you'll start to see that there's this perfect ordering to things. The way that nature is so symmetrical, the way that the seasons change, the way that everything is in such perfect harmony, working together, the way the planets orbit around the stars, it's harmony, it's cohesion, it's order, it's unity. Now, you could also look at nature and see a whole bunch of randomness and seeming chaos. But for those of us who are people of faith, we're able to see the order in the chaos. There was a Stoic philosopher by the name of Marcus Aurelius, and he wrote a book called Meditations. And in this book, Meditations, there's this little phrase. It isn't the original. This is a translation of the original. But it says, it's either providence or atoms. And what he meant by that is either everything in this universe is perfectly aligned and perfectly divinely orchestrated, or it's all just a random amalgamation of atoms, and there's no sense that we can make out of this. So which universe would you rather live in? Now, when you actually live in open-hearted acceptance and in that surrendered state, intellectually, it actually doesn't matter which one it is. You're okay with it. That's my definition of trusting God. But when you live in that surrendered state, it's not hard to see that there's a higher power at work. There's this thread that's being weaved in and through every circumstance and every event in human history. There's this forward movement that's happening. This is all seemingly going somewhere as you look at evolution. And so, can we trust that God is guiding and directing not just the course of the universe, but the course of our lives? In Jewish thought, they have this concept of Lady Wisdom. And it comes from the Hebrew scriptures where wisdom, God's wisdom, is personified as a woman, as a female. And so they have this idea of Lady Wisdom. And it's said that Lady Wisdom was the first of all God's creations. And it was through Lady Wisdom that God created everything. In other words, everything in this universe, everything in our world, is a reflection of God's wisdom. Life as we know it is the outpouring of God's wisdom. And so look at this scripture in the book of Proverbs. It's this beautiful poem. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Why am I reading this long poem to you? Because if God's wisdom is at the foundation of our universe, What makes you think God's wisdom is not at the foundation of your life? If divine wisdom and intelligence is guiding and leading and directing everything in this world, what makes you think it is not leading and guiding and directing your moment-to-moment existence? There are no accidents in your life. There are no mishaps. There are no wrong turns. You are exactly where you're supposed to be. You're experiencing exactly what you're supposed to be experiencing. The lessons that God has for you are right there in your face, in front of you right now, in this moment. And if you could live trusting in the way things are, if you could allow yourself to be carried by this divine wisdom, you may not always understand it. It may not make sense to you, especially in the big tragedies of life. Sometimes even just thinking about these words can just make things worse. When you're experiencing things like death or sickness or cancer or crazy things of that sort, the words fall short, right? But if you can continue to train yourself to know that there's a higher intelligence at work in my life, and you teach yourself to trust that, there's an ease that you begin to develop in life. There's a peace that you begin to experience that can carry you through whatever it is that you are facing. And you don't have to force things anymore. You know you're forcing things when it leads you to resentment, anger, frustration, stress. That's not ideal, right? When you live the unforced life, you allow things to be the way that they are. Now, your ego is going to kick and scream all the way. And I know some of us don't like this because we love to have total control of our lives. Okay? Welcome to Heartway, where we slowly begin to train you and teach you how to release control and allow God to carry you and guide you through your existence. God knows best. Life knows what's best. God's wisdom is at the foundation of your life. Think back to when each and every one of us in this room were in our mother's womb. When you were in your mother's womb, you were not doing anything. You didn't have no plans. You didn't have no expectations about anything. You were simply being. And every moment of your existence, you were being sustained. You weren't doing anything, and yet there was so much that was happening. And then we become children, and even as children, we're completely and totally dependent on our caregivers. We're not thinking about our future. We're not making plans for ourselves. We're not hoping that the next meal is going to come. It just ends up showing up there. And then eventually, as we grow older and we develop a stronger sense of ego, which one teacher defines ego as edging God out, which is funny, right? Because we get to this point in life where we're like, all right, God, thank you. I know you took care of me up to this point. I'm going to take over from now. I got this, right? And there's a part of that that is absolutely necessary, right? We have to develop a strong sense of individuality and a sense of self-responsibility and autonomy as a part of the human maturation process, right? You have to kind of become independent in this way. You can't just, you know, not care at all. But spirituality, the invitation of Christ, is for us to become like children again. Once you grow up, once you develop a healthy sense of ego, once you start taking control over your life and taking responsibility for things and, you know, making your plans and having all of your ideas and aspirations and goals, all those things which are good and a normal part of being human, at some point we have to release all that stuff and get back to that state of childlike faith, total dependency. It's the effortless state where there's no more striving or grasping. You're simply being, and you're trusting in the way that things are. And you recognize that there's a lot more going on here. This whole thing is a lot bigger than just you and your plans and your will and your desire and your way. Think about it. Right now, your heart is pumping without your effort. You're breathing without trying to. Your mind is thinking without you even wanting to. All these things kind of just happen on their own, right? But somewhere along the line, we begin to think we are the doer. And we forget that this is all just happening according to God's will, God's way, God's plan. Right? You are a happening within the universe. There's a philosopher by the name of Alan Watts who says, you are something the whole universe is doing in the same way that a wave is something the whole ocean is doing. See? But then we begin to see ourselves as these separate, individual, autonomous selves that are in control of our fate in a way that nothing else in existence is. When in reality, we're just a wave that the whole ocean is doing. We're something that the whole universe is doing. This is a lot bigger than just you, if you can kind of get where I'm going with this. And so the best thing that you could do for your life is to learn how to trust that you're being carried, that the divine wisdom and intelligence is guiding you and directing every moment of your life and existence. A good way to think about this is using the illustration of rowing and sailing. Okay, when you're rowing, you're kind of pushing against the resistance of the water. You have to put a lot of effort in when you're rowing a boat. If you want to make progress, you got to row harder. Sailing, on the other hand, isn't about going against the forces of nature, but working with the forces of nature. You're adjusting your sail to the wind. You're accommodating yourself to the wind. It's not about putting effort. It's not about trying harder. It's actually about moving in harmony with the way things are. That's the way to live the unforced life. If it comes, it comes. If it goes, it goes. If it stays, it stays. It's not my will that matters anymore. It's God's will. It's not about what I want. It's about what life wants from me in this moment. What is life demanding of you in this moment? You can either resist it and fight against it, or you can meet it, open yourself to it, and work with it. The unforced life is about no longer arguing with the way things are. Eventually, if you want to find peace, this is where your journey ends. It's with you learning how to agree with the way things are. But I don't like it. But I don't want it. This isn't what I planned. I know. Welcome to human existence. Welcome to human existence. And so every time I always talk about this, I always say, I know I give you guys tough pills to swallow, but I'm doing this because I'm interested in helping you discover how to find peace. That's it. And so if you want to experience peace, it comes by surrendering your will to God's will, learning how to sail instead of row, learning how to let things be instead of force things to be the way that you want them to be. Of course, there's a time to act, there's a time to push, there's a time to press, there's a time for everything. I'm not advocating for a total passivity in life, but there's a difference between forcing things and letting things unfold as they will. And so as hard as it is for us to let go of our will and our way and our desire, this may make it easier for you. Letting go is actually a form of self-love. You got to remember that. When I release what's not for me, I'm making room for what is. And so as hard as it is to let go of what I've been clinging to, don't think of it so much as letting go as much as it is making space. I'm making room for the next thing God has for me. I'm making room for the blessings that God has in store for me. And it's always going to be better than the way you planned it. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your wisdom that leads and guides and directs every aspect of our existence. May we learn how to trust in that and move in harmony with the rhythms of your grace. May we no longer force things to be that are not meant to be. And may we allow life to unfold exactly the way that it needs to, knowing that what is meant for us will come to us at exactly the right time. We thank you that we can cast our cares unto you because you care for us, and that we can stop striving and chasing, but instead attracting from a place of fullness, knowing that we are already complete, we are already whole, and that you are already with us every moment of the day. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us. I hope you have a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday.